Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to Comic Book Nation, the only show that does it all for geek culture and the official podcast of comicbook.com. And if you're listening, this is our recap of Invincible Season 2, Episode 7, I'm Not Going Anywhere, the penultimate episode of Invincible Season 2. And helping me to do this spoilers recap is the host of our Comic Book Nation Quick Save segment that covers all things gaming. Mr. Logan Moore is with me, and I'm your host of Comic Book Nation, Kofi Outlaw. Thanks for coming back, Logan, to jump back into the Invincible world with me as an avid fan of the Invincible comics. Always love having you on to help break down these episodes with me. So thanks, man.
Yeah, of course. Hopefully no technical problems this week, which I know was a big thing last week. So
Yeah, well,
I'm excited to talk about this episode with you.
Awesome. Yeah, let's get right into it. Without further ado, we are deep into Invincible Season 2. You've helped me break down each of these episodes pretty much. I think you were just sick for just one when it came back, but everybody was sick when it came back and had a week off. But now that we're getting towards the end, there's so much that happens in this episode. I'm Not Going Anywhere. There's arguably a lot of seasonal payoff in this episode in terms of the things that we were kind of debating along the way about, just like, what's the larger idea of this season? Is this getting too complicated? Are all these characters like necessary and storylines necessary? And kind of what does it mean? I feel like some of that starts to come into focus in this episode. You have, of course, the biggest events of the episode being like, there's a final payoff to Mark and Amber and the symbolism of this season, which is Mark having to make choices about who he is, who he's not, where he belongs, where he doesn't belong. And this episode really brings a lot of that to a head in classic Invincible kind of shock turns, right? Let's just get into the main thing, which is the Amber Mark of it all in this episode. So we start out, you know, they're trying to do Comic-Con. That gets interrupted, which you would think, you know, I don't know if you've ever brought a lady to Comic-Con, even one as enthusiastic as Amber is, but leaving her in the middle to go do something else is not a good look, bro. So he has to do that. And it's clear, as we've seen building throughout this season in these little scenes that some people have kind of mocked, but you feel in this episode, Amber and the college stuff and all those scenes we kept cutting back to her, she's getting more assertive. She's like, yeah, go, whatever. Like, I'm just going to do my own thing. And you can see this kind of transition when her starting But, you know, Rex makes Mark this deal and they're going to go on this date. And for a minute, it looks like everything's good. They're in Dateland. Mark and Amber are making plans for the next year of college. And Viltrumite shows up, right? And we get a new Viltrumite character named Anissa, who is voiced by, her name is so crazy, but it's the Becca. It's Becca from The Boys. I always forget her name. I just had it pulled up here. But anyway, we get this new Viltrumite warrior, and this isn't just Chantel Van Satten is her name, and she's Becca Butcher in The Boys, and she's been in a million other things as well.
I recognized her voice immediately as soon as she showed up, and I was like, what is she in? And
One Tree Hill. And The Boys. But she's very famous. So, you know, congrats on Invincible dropping more awesome voice work and voice casting. But Anissa shows up, and yeah, this is a Viltrumite unlike we've seen before. They outright say in this that at least in speed she might be faster than Nolan. It suggests she might be more powerful than Nolan. There's a lot of little Dragon Ball power level suggestion in this episode we'll dig into. Even as we get down to the end. But that shows up and instantly shatters this whole little illusion that Mark and Amber have been living in, right? Because up until now, and this is what I like about Invincible's levels of storytelling, and for people who are saying, like, you know, Amber was a throwaway character, I've heard this in the comics, she might be, but like here, it's a little on the nose when she's dropping lines like, I don't even have agency, which I was like, take that out, guys. Like, that's a little bit too much. But she does have more agency in this version of the show. But it becomes clear the moment she finally sees, because she knows that Mark does superhero stuff, right? Like, that's been a thing. But the moment she has to see, like, this Viltrumite side and all of this other stuff, it's pretty profound, you know, how much it affects her. And it shatters all this little kind of teeny bopper illusion that they've been living in, that there can be this kind of normal life between them. And for me, that's the kind of work that I think this season, I don't think it'll be appreciated as most sophomore seasons aren't, but that's the kind of work that I think this show does, whereas other shows don't do as well. It may take longer, it may be a slow burn, but there's payoff in what happens here between Mark and Amber. It's also timely because I know people were getting real sick of this whole thread. So, you know, good for them for getting out while it was still smart to get out.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, you know, even if they were exposed to the TV series first, they have since, in the gap between season one and two, have gone on to read the comics and they've seen where Mark's love life eventually goes. And I think a lot of people are way bigger fans of like those future arcs and stuff like that. So people have just been wanting the show to naturally progress past everything here with Amber and Mark, which is understandable because I kind of feel the same way. But the thing I'll say about this episode that I liked is that in the previous episode, it was obvious that both of them were feeling like they were being torn apart from each other and they're going to other people and they're opening up about their relationship to others in their lives. And then, like, if you've ever had like a relationship fall apart in the past, there's always like this sort of like last hurrah you try to do to kind of like save it or something like that. And you get the sense that they really try to do that here in this episode. Like, let's have a date night and let's do this. And everything will be great. And they're kind of each overlooking the issues that they have acknowledged to others that they had in the previous episode. They've not really confronted these problems with one another until sort of the end of the episode, like you mentioned, once Anissa comes into play and kind of really makes Amber realize she needs to get out of this situation because it's just not good for herself. And Mark knows the same. But I like that they kind of try to save everything and pretend that everything is, Anissa was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, they were already on the outs with one another and it already seemed like it was progressing and where this episode ends up leaving it. But I enjoyed seeing them kind of try to just ignore those things. It's very human and realistic given some of my own personal relationships. And I think a lot of people can kind of relate to that as well.
Oh yeah. You always have like, especially like a big epic date night or a big trip or something. Those things, I mean, that's why literature is written about those things. They almost always go, you know, Shakespearean tragically wrong in some form or fashion because you try to maintain, but you know, even as they're sitting at the table, I think that was more tense for me than, you know, a Viltrumite grabbing Amber by the neck was them trying to make these plans for sophomore year of college and just hearing it and being, to borrow a parlance of our times, it'd be so cringe knowing, like, there's no way any of this can sound realistic to you guys as you're saying it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to hear how just, like, naive this all sounds. And I was almost like, oh, thank God, a Viltrumite. Spare me from this awkwardness. You know, splatter some blood. Spare me from the awkwardness. I'll take the bloodshed over the awkwardness. But, yeah, it was good, and it pays off. And I like the depth of, while I didn't like some of Amber's dialogue in their kind of breakup scene, I did like that Mark kind of, they brought up the point that, like, Mark's whole thing is, you know, the scariest thing for me isn't just you getting hurt. It's what happens to me if you get hurt. Who do I become? Like, I you see this thing in a Viltrumite that's lurking inside me. And what happens if you had gotten hurt? Like, what would I have done? And his uncertainty is a thing I didn't think I really picked up on until about this episode. But, like, they've been telling us, like, you know, these alternate futures where Mark, how easy mm-hmm. it is for him to go the other way and to do these other things. You always don't question your hero. You're like, oh, he's fine. And but this whole season has been subtly but surely building up this idea that, like, no, this kid could have another side. Like, we should be worried about our hero and what's going on inside with him internally. And I think by stripping away this Amber things, we're starting to get the first real glimpse of that coming into the limelight.
Yeah, it's a good callback to the cold open and just, I mean, the ending of the cold open of this season. And then obviously the ending of last season. I mean, he's just he very much does not want to become his dad, but he also still kind of idolizes his dad and he wants to be like his dad, at least the version of his dad that he thought he knew before kind of the veil came down at the end of this past season. So he's got a lot of internal strife and conflict, and he's worried about where he's going to go in the midst of all of this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I wanted to ask you what you thought about the scene where, I mean, we've talked about it, but how did you feel about the scene where Anissa does show up? Like, were you shocked by that? Like, and obviously going back to last season, like, we've seen what Viltrumites can do to humans. Like, she's got her hand on her neck. Like, Nolan was flicking people in the face in the last season and their heads are exploding. Like, she could have killed Amber and with absolute ease. How did you feel about that whole scene? And then just kind of, I assume we'll talk more about that whole fight scene between her and Mark there to kind of end cap the episode here. But what do you think about that whole sequence?
I mean, I think for a lot of people, when they try to criticize Invincible season two, like, I think what it all boils down to for me is what they're really saying is they are kind of feel like this series is rudderless without Viltrumite presence. It's like in season one, what kept a lot of people going was the through line of knowing from the very first episode that Nolan is crazy as hell and all powerful and murderous, and just watching each episode in the tension created from whether it's a scene where you're like, oh my God, Damian Dark, like, get out of there before, like, he, not Damian Dark, that's from Arrow. You know who I'm talking about? The demon detective.
Yes.
Damian one of Clancy Blood?
Is that it?
Damian Darkblood, yeah. One of Clancy Brown's many voices on this show. Basically, and you're like, get out of the house before he gets there, or oh my God, Debbie, don't do it, or oh my God, Mark, you're gonna be so, like, what happens when you finally figure this out? Like, that's, but every time Nolan was around, it added tension to this because you're like, I know somebody could get real effed up real bad, real fast with this guy, and that kept you on the edge of your seat. So I think it was when you saw these warriors show up in the end of season two, part one, everybody was buzzing about that because, you know, we're thinking we're dealing with Mark and Nolan on Thraxa, and then, oh, crap, here come three Viltrumite warriors. What are we doing here? And that episode got everybody real hyped. The second half, people have been like kind of, because that hype level was so high again. Viltrumite, big fight. Nolan's in prison. Mark's been assigned to Earth. Then we got back to Earth and things have been a whole lot less Viltrumite-y. And everybody's been like, oh, this lacks stakes or gravitas or whatever again. But this episode reminds us that, you know, they can show up anywhere, anytime. It's nothing for them. And this was a shocker. Like, yeah, I thought we were going to get into some deep, like, kind of college teen romance stuff and drama at that dinner scene. And then, yeah, it takes a sudden turn and you're back on the edge of your seat like, oh. And what I like about this show in this series is it's done by, like, Kirkman and people who are so steeped in superhero lore that they, I say this again and again, they know how to turn it just a little bit to keep it unexpected and fresh. And so Anissa's both what we expect and not what we expect, because she's not there to, like, hurt and maim and just, like, mindless destruction like an arch villain. She's appealing to Mark in this really kind of get inside your head, good villain kind of way, which is a good villain is just somebody with this kind of slightly skewed perspective, Magneto style, good, you know, good intentions, good heart, really kind of skewed psychosis a little bit about how to get there. And that's what Anissa says. And she is even more kind of scary because she never once does, like, threaten humans or say, except for the ones in the restaurant when she's trying to get Mark to talk and to acquiesce to her. After that, she's like, bro, after she one-shots that sea monster, after seeing him struggle and him about to lose the ship and lose lives, and she just is like, I saved those humans. Imagine if I hadn't been here. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the package we're offering from Viltrum. Like, this species is not doing so hot. Like, and your guys are not doing so hot protecting them. They need us. And, like, that's kind of a crazy thing. Also a crazy thing to think about in the week that we're doing, like, you know, stuff like Netflix's three-body problem, which is kind of essentially the same story arc, right? Like, aliens, we need them because we're too screwed up on our own. And so that's a thing that can get inside your head. And so it was interesting to see. And then by the end of the episode, we get the further reveal that there has been a whole Viltrumite line running through this because this is Craig coming to test Mark. And again, not the ways you expect by the time we saw him at the end of season two, part one.
Well, Anissa mentions that there's somebody else that will come. for like, yeah. she kind of presents it like, I've been the good cop in this situation. There is a bad cop that will now come to Earth because you have decided not to agree with the offer that I have given you. So get ready for that. And like, so there's just this never ending army of Viltrumites. And I understand that like that a lot of people want the Viltrumites to be, I mean, they're the biggest power threat that feels like they can hurt or put Mark in danger, which I think is why people feel very drawn to them and want them to be more prominent in the show. Like even like the Sequids and stuff like that, like they were a threat, but like you always kind of felt like, okay, well, they're going to get out of this, but how are they going to get out of it? You know? But I think to that point, like obviously the end of this episode tees up Angstrom's return, which has been the through line of this season, which we're finally going to see next episode. And I think with that episode, fans who have not read the comics or haven't seen anything else beyond the show yet will kind of learn that there are some other huge threats out there in the universe for Mark Grayson, other than just the Viltrumite Empire, and that he has a lot of other things he needs to be seriously concerned about. I thought that was a very good ending to finally, because obviously we're waiting the whole time for him to show up. There've been teases for him constantly throughout the whole season that he's going to come back. And that'll finally be the season finale next week with Angstrom and Invincible going at it.
Yeah. And Debbie and Oliver caught in the crosshair. Other interesting things. There's a lot in this episode. We got to get out of here. But one thing I did want to ask before we get is this storyline that I thought was hilarious with the Dean, is that in the comics that his high school principal becomes like his college dean? And is it Winslow in a kind of an Easter egg to Carl Winslow and Reginald Vale Johnson like it is in the show?
I think so. It's been such a long time. I mentioned earlier in the season that I've wanted to reread the comics. I haven't done that yet still. I think that is in the comics, though, I believe. The comic is filled with references to other pieces of media. It's very on point. I mean, there's some stuff in the next episode, which I've watched, and I know you have, where they start dropping... other teases and little jokes at other different popular superheroes. And that stuff is very prevalent throughout the comic. Like they are always doing parodies of other superheroes.
All right. So, well, that's a good place to end by saying, stay tuned, hold on to your hats, pull up your socks and kick off your Crocs, because we will be back next week to talk about the season finale of Invincible season 2. It's Angstrom Levy versus Mark. You know this guy and his powers. We've already had teases of some of the things that were crazy about this fight that have been teed up. So be sure to come back with us for that recap as we talk about the season as a whole and our expectations for season 3. Thank you for joining us. This is Comic Book Nation. Subscribe on all our feeds. We are on all the major podcast platforms and have shows that cover anime, gaming, comics, and everything in between. Thank you for joining me, Logan, and I will see you guys out there. Enjoy Invincible. Peace.